Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, no matter where you're listening, around the world, this is Sedona Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to Joanna Paxinou at the Movies with Joanna. And today we have a very special guest with us. His name is Chris Ford. He is the writer and director of a very delightful and romantic comedy called The Village Barbershop. It's an independent film, and it is going to be shown in Sedona on Tuesday, March 10th. There's going to be two showings at 4 p.m. and 7 p.m. at the Harkin Sedona Six Theaters. And the showing is sponsored by the Sedona International Film Festival as part of its second Tuesday movie shows. And it's called the Second Tuesday Cinema Series. And Patrick Schweiss, who's the executive director of the Sedona International Film Festival, called The Village Barbershop a perfect, heartfelt, and touching film, and a testament to the resilience and humor of the human spirit. As I said, Chris Ford is the writer and director, and this is his first feature film, and it is really a very successful one. It has already won awards as Best Feature, and its leading lady, Shelley Cole, from the Gilmore Girls on TV, has won Best Actress Award for her role in The Village Barbershop. She has co-starred with another favorite TV personality, John Ratzenberger of Cheers fame. He was an Emmy Award nominee twice. Another actress in the film is Cindy Pickett from St. Elsewhere, and the cast is really very effective, very engaging, and the whole story is it's a sweet film, and it touches the heart, and it's really a delightful film. And Chris, are you, hello, Chris?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry, I was just listening.
Oh, good. I'm glad to joining us. I was just telling the audience what a delightful film The Village Barbershop is. It has heart, it has warmth, and it's very engaging, and it's just incredible. It's your first feature film. You did a fantastic job. I can't compliment you enough. I was curious to ask why you made your main character a barber. It's kind of something that we don't see too much nowadays, and I think today they call them hairstylists. But is there any special reason that you chose a barber as your main character?
Yeah, I mean, I think I probably have. I have two kind of, I don't know if you'd call them a fetish or not, but I love sneakers and a good barber where you can get a hot shave. And, The barbershop, I guess the way I ended up trying to, I guess, writing this movie around a barber, I mean, the idea for the movie wasn't so much as an idea as it was the idea of this character, Art the Barber, was kind of based on this barber I went to growing up. I think he probably cut my hair for 10 or 15 years, and I still go back to him when I go back to Reno and visit, but he was this guy who knew everything about me and knew everything about all my friends and where I went to high school and where I went to college and everyone in my fraternity. And he was this kind of guy who had this amazing memory. And yet when I thought about it, I knew nothing other than I liked the way he cut my hair. So
you knew nothing about him.
Yeah. So it was a way of kind of like exploring or creating a life, for a guy outside of the barbershop, you know, and there is a real Art the Barber in Reno. And, his name's Art Williamson, and he came to the premiere at Cinequest last year with his wife, who, ironically, I guess, or humorously, he and his wife now go to dinner all the time with my mom and my stepdad. They become really good friends through the movie, but he's there, and he's still cutting hair, and he tried to retire, and it didn't work, and he's back doing it, you know, a few less days a week, but still there, still hot shaving away.
Well, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Well, there was a reality to the character and the movie and the whole situation. So I'm sure that that reality of your barber you grew up with it is in that movie. And it had a lot of heart, the movie. And you really don't see that too much nowadays. Can you tell us a little bit about the whole experience of producing this independent film?
Yeah, that was quite an experience. I tell people when I talk about it that it was an independent movie, but it was a really genuinely independent movie because I think most people, what passes for an independent movie today at the multiplex is probably a $10 million film that was kind of sponsored by Fox, Searchlight, or some other, you know, studio with all kinds of backing, and this was really a testament to kind of like what, you know, myself and my producer, the co-producer Jason Newmark, could do in terms of just cajoling our family and friends into giving us all, a lot of people gave a little bit of money to help make this movie get made, with the exception of one guy who kind of came in at the end and gave us the rest of the funding to get it going, but it really was a small endeavor by a whole bunch of people, and it was, I used to tell everyone at work it was a creative vision quest, because it was just, in many ways, you just kind of go out into the wilderness of independent filmmaking and hope you make it back, and it's tough, it's dangerous, there's all kinds of trouble, and it's just, it's fun because you get to use your brain to solve problems and not money, you know, ultimately that. Sometimes it's nice to have money, but it was a fun challenge, but very difficult, very kind of educational, self-educational experience.
How did you cast the film? How did you seek out John Ratzenberger and Shelley Cole, or how did the cast develop?
Yeah, you know, it would have been nice if I was able to seek out people, but for the most part, I was kind of a one-man show, and it was, the movie was like, it was a baby step film. It was like, I would find out what I needed to do next, ask people that I trusted to tell me how to do that, and then I would go out and do it. And it was only kind of, so there was no kind of, there was an inability on my part to like forward look into casting, and so it just came time, like, I needed actors, so I work as a creative director in my day job, so I was, happened to be making some commercials, and a guy I asked, I said, do you know a casting director who would help me find some actors in short order for my film? And he introduced me to this woman, Chris Nicolau, at Skirts Casting in L.A., and she used to cast for Oliver Stone, and she kind of moved into the commercial world, and she volunteered to kind of help me out, and she set up a handful of meetings with a bunch of different actors, and John was kind of the guy who came in and talk to me about my movie, which is really strange to have people talk to you about something you wrote, at least the first time. And he was just amazing. He was just kind of the guy I thought, this guy has to be the guy to do the movie, because he had the energy and the commitment and the understanding of the script that I don't think everyone else did. And then in terms of Shelley was the first person I saw for the role, and when she walked in, it was just like, okay, that's going to be her movie. So
she was very appealing, and very believable. I mean, they all were, but she has a very touching quality, so she added a lot, and in a very pivotal role, too.
She does. She has this kind of, I don't know what you call it, but, I mean, beyond just this kind of, like, real, genuine quality to her, she has kind of, I don't know. She just really was that character for me. I was like, I can't really imagine anyone else ever doing it, because she just was so kind of vulnerable but hard on the outside, you know?
Mm-hmm.
She played both sides of that kind of emotion or that kind of world very well, I think.
She was perfect. So tell me, after you wrote the script, produced the film, directed it, and what was your feeling when the first time an audience saw your movie?
Let me figure out when the first time an audience saw it, because we've screened it so many different times at so many different stages. I mean, I think probably the most legitimate big time screening was when it premiered at Cinequest, and that was pretty amazing because the theater was packed, and everyone I knew, everyone who worked on the movie, a lot of the actors, all my family, and then just a bunch of festival goers were there, and that was pretty amazing because I really don't think I watched the movie. I just watched the audience, you know, and you know. I experienced it before with commercials where you play a commercial for someone you've made and they laugh, but like when people laugh in the right parts of your movie or whatever, I think is kind of, that's the thing that I think keeps filmmakers going. I think at least a lot of them is just seeing people get it and connect with it, which is really, really rewarding.
And at the Cinequest, the Village Barbershop did win a prize as the best feature, so that was quite a premiere.
Yeah, it was that's kind of an amazing little festival that, you know, it's not a secret anymore, but it's, I think their attendance is getting close to 100,000 people. But in terms of independent movie making, everyone loves to talk about Sundance, but like there's, you know, I think Cinequest is far more of an independent film festival than Sundance, and they, you know, there's newer, different things going on there, and they're just this little gem of a festival down in San Jose, and they championed the movie, and I think the reason anyone beyond Cinequest saw the movie was just because, you know, Mike Rabel and Jens Hussey at Cinequest just made sure it kept going. You know, it's amazing. It's like, you know, I don't know. It's, when you work in business, it's always business relationships. And so the interesting thing about making this movie was developing relationships with people that kind of just help you purely on artistic merit or because they like you or your movie. And that's a kind of different world. And it's, you know, it's a really nice world, you know, if you can get it.
Yeah, the festivals are very important for independent films, and they're very supportive. And they realize that independent films need to get out there. The audience, there is an audience out there for movies like The Village Barbershop. And a lot of these festivals are very supportive, and it's great to see.
Yeah, it's huge. It's, you know, I mean, short of festivals, if you aren't like an established filmmaker, there's, you know, the only way to have anyone see your film is to, you know, take it over to their house and put it on their TV, you know.
And you got a wonderful write-up by Variety, which was, you know, terrific.
Yeah, I mean, I think Cinequest championed the movie, and they had the opportunity to get some films in front of Variety, and I was just so thankful that, you know, ours was one of them, and it got written up, and, you know, really nice review, and, you know, and again, like, I had no idea. I was down there, I was like, what should I be doing? They're like, you want to get your film reviewed, and you want it to get reviewed well. I'm like, okay, how do I do that? You know, it's just like, everything I did was one step at a time, and it's kind of amazing that it managed to get, you know, beyond just being an edit somewhere and actually out into the world a little bit, so.
When you said you had a lot of backers, what was their reaction when they saw the film, and how do they feel about the film's success so far?
I think everybody's been really cool. No one's been like, you know, I always worried, you know, we're, you know, hoping to always recoup our investors' money, you know, but no one's even mentioned that. They've always just been exceedingly, I think, proud to be a part of a little movie. You know, I think because of the nature of most of our investors, most of them, I think, felt like, all right, this is a little movie, and hopefully, you know, maybe I'll get my money back, or, you know, but I don't know if they ever thought that it would end up, you know, getting distribution, being seen, and, you know, and I think they're just all so proud that they can kind of, you know, go and see it, or get it on Netflix, or go down to the Hollywood Video, or wherever, and just rent it. They're just like, whoa, it's kind of, I don't know, like, we weren't sure you guys were ever going to actually make it, you know, so let alone actually be able to kind of see it. Is, they've all been really, really complimentary and nice.
How long did it take you to do the film from the actual filming?
I think we shot the film in about 19 days, and the late summer of 2006, and then we spent a year doing post-production. And then during post-production, we actually went back to Reno and shot some exteriors and some interstitials to kind of give the film a little more texture. And then we kind of toured the festival circuit for a year. And then late last year, we found Monterey Media, who was kind enough to offer to distribute the film. And so we've just kind of, you know, that's the road it's been on. It's a long road for, you know, a little film. And it's like this for a lot of little films, is you make it, and it takes you a long time to do the post work on it, just because most people that do this do it out of love and have a day job. And, you know, so you can't do it so quickly. And then you have to tour it on the festival circuit to try and find people that are interested and help it find an audience. And that takes time. And, you know, it's a long road. It's been interesting on the festival circuit. You meet people who are, you know, at the end of their festival circuit when you're just starting yours, and it's just kind of, for everyone, it feels like it's, you know, it's a 2 or 3 year thing rather than, like, you know, a traditional film, you might just be more of a year, I guess.
Mm-hmm. So what's next for the Village Barbershop? You're looking for distributors?
We have a distributor, Monterey Media, and so it's, you know, it's coming, I think it's out on DVD right now. It just, I think this week it dropped. And
people wanting to purchase the DVD, they go to the website, www.montereymedia.com?
Yeah, they could go to montereymedia.com. It's on amazon.com. You can rent it on Netflix. You can rent it on blockbuster.com. You can buy it at Deep Discount and Barnes & Noble and Best Buy. It's pretty much everywhere. I think you can also get it on iTunes if you're a digital person. And
quite a distribution.
Yeah, it's good. I'm very happy, you know, and we just keep asking people if they like the movie to write something nice about it online, because while it's got distribution, we don't have, you know, a big marketing budget to kind of go out and advertise it to people. And so it's really kind of a grassroots word of mouth.
They write their comments? Is that on the montereymedia.com?
No, I think Amazon is, you know, a great place to write a user review, and Netflix is also a great place to write a user review, because those are, you know, and also iTunes, if you do go on iTunes, because it's just it's a place where people, where they put the reviews, kind of user reviews front and center, and make it part of the buying or renting experience. So,
okay, listeners, you know what to do now.
What's that? Yeah.
It's really a wonderful movie. It's a sweet movie. It's a good feeling movie, and it gives a message of hope. And it's at different age levels, so there's something there for everybody.
Yeah,
Do you plan to go to take the Village Barbershop to any other festivals right now?
Well, it's at the Sedona Film Festival, but I don't have plans to take it to any more festivals. It's kind of ended its festival run, but you know, never say never. Occasionally something pops up and we try and do a screening of it, but yeah, it's pretty much out for the world on DVD right now.
Mm-hmm. What is your next project? Do you plan to do another film?
Yeah, I would love to do another film. Right now I'm trying to write something that can help support the family, and I kind of try and write something that I would love to shoot, because I like small stories and, you know, real stories about real people. And you know, those are often kind of hard movies to sell to investors, but I don't know. I'm really looking forward to having an opportunity to kind of take everything I learned doing this first thing and apply it to another project, because, you know, the learning curve on making an independent movie and getting it distributed is pretty steep. Mm-hmm. So I would just like a second chance.
What have you learned with your first film, an independent film, that anything that you've learned that you won't do, anything that you would do differently with your second project?
Well, I just think, like, there's a lot of planning that can go ahead of a project beyond, you know, when I started it, I just set up an LLC so I could raise money and started raising money, but it took me a year and a half to raise money, which would have been a great time to be kind of thinking about how I want to market the movie, where I want to market the movie, who I want to contact as a distributor, what's my festival strategy, where do I want to try and get the movie, should I be developing publicity materials and the website, and all these kinds of things that I had to do kind of, you know, in order of putting out the most important fire. It would be good to kind of just be more smart about planning ahead of time. You know, it's just when you're a one-man band, to a certain degree, you just don't have that opportunity or that ability. But that's one thing I would want to do, you know. And also, you know, I mean, the interesting thing about the movie is it all kind of came together because there's just so many artists out there, like my composer, Michael Tremonti, and a woman, Brittany Cheney, did a lot of the music on the soundtrack. There's just so many artists out there that don't have opportunities to kind of, they're few and far between in terms of being an up-and-coming singer-songwriter or an up-and-coming composer. And so it's just, it should be nice to have people like that on board prior to the shoot, just to be thinking about doing things more specifically rather than hoping that they all kind of magically come together in the end. But it's just all that. It's prep time, preparation and forward thinking. I don't know.
So it sounds like planning ahead is a big factor.
Yeah, planning ahead is good, but it's just like little movie makers don't have that luxury. But,
right.
Yeah, it's, you know, I don't know. But
it all came together very well.
Thank you. Yeah, there's a lot of, you know, I don't know. I just continue to be amazed by, like, you know, my film editor, guy by the name of Ian Montgomery, had, I think he'd cut one other feature but was primarily a commercial editor, but he did, I think, an amazing job editing the film. And the DP, Cliff Trayman, you know, we took a $50,000 digital camera and made it look, you know, a lot of people can't tell that it wasn't shot on film, you know, and we just had great post facilities and people that, you know, just on every level kind of raised their hand to kind of deliver some critical component to the movie. And it was just amazing to me, you know, just a really good, you know, as much as the movie is a feel-good story, kind of the way it was finished and came together in the end has been, I think, for me, a feel-good story. You're always heartened when people kind of volunteer to help do something. It's just, you don't feel like that happens all that often.
Well, it seems that the film took on a life of its own, and it was a feel-good movie and feel-good behind the scenes. It really comes out in the film itself, and the people, the audience, feels good watching it. And you know, you don't see too many films like that today, and it's such a welcome sight. And you know, it kind of reminded me a little bit of the old Frank Capra movies that was so not only good, felt good to watch, but it kind of stayed with you. That good feeling kind of stayed with you. So I thought it was a wonderful job, and it's amazing. It's your first film, and to be so successful, that we look forward to more and more from you, and I wish you all the success that you deserve, because it was a wonderful movie.
Oh, that's really sweet. I appreciate that. Thank you.
I want to remind everybody that the movie will be shown Tuesday, March 10th in Sedona at the Harkins Sedona 6 Theaters, and there's going to be two showings at 7 p.m. and 4 p.m., and Chris, you will be there for both screenings with the Q&A sessions?
Yeah, I will be.
Good. And tell us again the other sources. I know one was if people wanted to purchase the DVD, they could get it from MontereyMedia.com and also Amazon. And what were some of the other sources?
Pretty much anywhere. You know, there's a DeepDiscount.com, which is, as I understand it, the number two DVD retailer in America next to Amazon. And then BestBuy.com has it. I think BarnesandNoble.com has it. And then if you want to rent it, you can always put it in your Netflix queue.
Okay, I remind all the listeners to see this wonderful movie, The Village Barbershop, and to please put in your comments and help this talented writer get his film out there, because it's a wonderful, wonderful show, and I really enjoyed watching it very much. And I'm looking forward to your next project. Anything you want to tell us about what you're working on, or is that you want to keep that to yourself for now?
I don't know if I have this thriller I'm working on that I think is kind of an interesting, could be really interesting. What's that?
I say it's going to be a different feel.
I want to write another story set in Reno because I love that town as a setting, and I have some other stories that, but the next thing I'm trying to get done is this thriller that I've been working on for quite a while that I just think is kind of, it's darker. It's a meditation on just kind of, I guess you'd say it's a meditation on death and a little bit of a morality tale and just kind of, I don't know. It's something that's interesting to me and it's hard to explain. It's more of a, you know, I need a more succinct log line, but I don't haven't written a succinct log line yet, but.
Well, let us know when you're working on that, when it's ready to go. We'd love to support you. And if we're coming to the end of our interview, and I want to thank you so much for giving us your time today. I know how busy you are. And Chris Ford, I urge everybody to see The Village Barbershop. It's a great film. Thank you so much for being with us today, Chris, and all the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And thank you, listeners, for joining us today. This is Joanna Paxinu, and you've been listening to At the Movies with Joanna, and this is a wrap.